Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here in the KE Report, chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, let's start off by talking about the U.S. equity markets. We have another day today. It's been a bit choppier, an interesting little sell-off as the markets opened up for the day at the very start of the day, sold off quickly and have since rebounded. But taking the overall moves of these markets in a broad context, we have, I think it's the NASDAQ that's been up 11 days in a row. It just seems like day after day we're seeing new all-time highs, and it's not just a couple points here and there. These markets are still moving up in a very nice direction if you're bullish and if you're holding a position, but you do have to get the feeling at least, or at least look at some of these technicals that show how overbought and extended this rally is. But again, it's been day after day of wins. What's your kind of broad comment on the markets that just don't seem to ever want to go down?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me on. For a long-term investor in my long-term portfolio, I love it. You know, great gains, probably the best gains that I've had in several years. From a short-term perspective, it's just baffling. Being a short-term or even an intraday trader, I mean, you kind of like to trade, you know, both sides of the market, and that just hasn't been the case here. Just incredible strength, incredible follow through, a lot of different, you know, we had the good earnings season, Santa Claus rally came early. I guess I've said this a lot on your show. You know, if you have met your, you know, investment objectives over the long term and you're planning on retiring or sending your kids to college and you earmarked your money for this, then you really have to evaluate, you know, what's best for you in the long term. I mean, people are predicting, you know, could the S&P double next year? Well, it sure can, but there's going to be some bumps in the road. And I hate to see people, you know, get greedy, you know, and look at the market when it pulls back from an all-time high is look at the money I lost. You know, the market was here and now it's down here and now I'm losing money. They don't look at it from the perspective of their entry point. So I've urged caution. I've probably been urging it, you know, since I've been coming on your show. But from a technical perspective, today's not a great day. We had strong strong close on Friday, on Thursday, follow through in the after hours, follow through in the pre-market. Got up to 32.54. I'm talking the March futures here, and we couldn't see that level during the day, and now we've backed off another 10 handles. Is that significant in the whole long-term perspective of things? No, but if you're looking for any negative to say about the market, I would keep an eye on the close from yesterday and the high from today. It's very important levels for us to clear early, you know, Monday, Tuesday, or early in 2020.
Now, what about the start of 2020? We only have, like a day and a half of trading, maybe 2 days, let's say, of trading left for this year. So 2020 is right around the corner. But with this move so aggressively into the end of the year, really in all of Q4, how important is it going to be to see some more strength in January? Because if the markets start off weak, don't you think that that could shake out all these nervous hands?
So goes January, so goes the market. I've seen that mixed over the years. I did hear one interesting perspective here, and I haven't done a lot of research on it. One of my colleagues, her name is Anne-Marie Band. She wrote a book, The Trading Coach. She said to her, looking at the first of the year, let's say you're a long-term holder of Apple here, right? So if you sell it at 290 today, then when are you going to pay taxes for that thing? When are you going to pay taxes on that profits? You're going to have to pay it in 2019. Now, if you really want to take the chips off the table, but you want to sit on the money for a year, then, or over a year, until you have to pay your 2020 taxes, boom, then you have an opportunity to do it. So that might exert some pressure here, but I don't know. I think it's important. I like to do my daily levels, and it's, you know, as long as the market continues to make all-time closing highs, new all-time closing highs, new highs, then I don't there's no reason for concern. Well, let me scratch that. I don't want to say there's no reason for concern, but price rules. The tape is strong, so until that changes, that's my stance on that.
Okay, now final comments on the U.S. markets. Has this move just in the fourth quarter been enough to call this some sort of a blow-off top? Obviously, we don't know if the markets will roll over, but man, oh man, this looks like a euphoric move.
To me, I wouldn't characterize it as that. To me, it would be like an 800-point up day in the Dow or something like that, you know, where all the shorts are blown out of the water and, you know, just, you know, that's to me. You know, the ranges are beginning tighter here, you know, consolidating, you have periods of high volatility and low volatility, but no, it doesn't feel like a blow-off top to me yet.
Yeah, you know what? And it can just keep on going. I remember, what was it, 2017, where the markets just moved up and up and up all year long. Let's also talk about a story stock that you and I have covered, that is Boeing. Last time we talked, a couple weeks ago, Boeing had just stopped production of the 737 MAX. But over, I think, the last week, now they have, or we have, their CEO resigning. Boeing's been an interesting stock chart. I have the weekly chart up here, and it's really tried to make a floor right around this 320 level. Just recently bounced off that level. Is there such a thing as what could be a quadruple bottom here trying to be put in?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, and we talked about this before I came on. A couple things. If you are trying to play the stock from the long side, or you're trying to protect some profits, you got to keep an eye on that 320 level. There's absolutely no doubt about that. The thing to me is the last few times it came down here to, excuse me, to 320, it popped right out of there. You know, it went 330, 340, 350, and then back up to the top of the trading range. This time, it's having a little bit more of a problem getting out of the area. Now, when a CEO resigns, I don't always construe that as the most positive thing. But the street did, and they took it up to 340. So if you're, you know, if you want to wait and buy this thing on strength as opposed to weakness, I look at for it to close above 340. You had a couple highs right in that area after the resignation to 3 and 4 day highs. So 320, you breach 320, you know, boom, you could see 300 pretty quickly. If you can bust above that 340, I don't know. It just seems like it's just a little bit more of a struggle to get to the top of the to the trading range. And until all the aftermath of you know, stopping production, whether it's a permanent stoppage or not, is really going to be you know, it's going to be a telltale for the stock. It's not all of their products and everything, but it's certainly a big part of it.
Yeah, well, it's just been an interesting story throughout this year, and quite frankly, I'd like to see the 737 MAX back in operation, but who knows when that's going to be. Man, this just, they can't seem to get it ready to go, or the governments won't let it come out in back into the market. Let's also talk about the Fed and its balance sheet. I know it seems like kind of a divergence, but it is very much connected a lot to what a lot of the commentators are saying about this rise in the U.S. equity markets. The Fed's balance sheet, on average, has expanded just over $100 billion per month for the last 3 months. So that money is landing somewhere. Could be a reason why these markets keep on moving up. But you know what? We still, I don't think, have the full story of where this money's going, or even the plumbing issues and how they're going to get fixed. What's your comments on the commentary around the Fed balance sheet growth?
There's certainly a lot of commentary, and people are construing that from the negative side here. But, you know, what has the market done? You know, the market's gone up. So I think if you're looking for like your next crisis, or, you know, the next shockwave in the markets, I don't know if it's going to come from the Fed. You know, you had the tech bubble in 2000, you had your financial crisis. So if something's that apparent and everyone's looking at it and saying this is the reason that we're going to drop off a cliff, then I just have to disagree with it. They're pumping money into the system. Why they're doing it, if they're trying to shore up something, negative, then it will come out eventually. But then we've talked about this before. I mean, rates, it will be interesting. I don't see the Fed doing much in 2020 for rates. On the upside, if they take it up too much, it'll stall the economy. And you can't use too much on the downside because you're using up your bullets if and when the economy does slow down for an extended period of time.
Okay, Joel, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for taking time with us on December 27th. It's actually been some pretty interesting moves around the Christmas period when the markets usually are a bit slower than this. But wow, it really seems like, at least for U.S. equity markets, the path of least resistance continues to be higher. It's been quite the fourth quarter. Joel, great chatting with you, everyone. Click that link below and visit the Benzinga website where you can listen to all of the recordings of Joel's pre-market prep show.